Well, we are just coming up on 7:30, so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to mute all. A little bit different from our normal nights, we are going to allow people to unmute themselves, and that's because our speaker has requested that he's going to ask for some sort of input from people later on in his presentation. I'll let him fill in on that. But you will be able to unmute yourself. Please feel free to do so. Remute yourself afterwards for sure, because we do want to keep background noise to a minimum. And I will unceremoniously remute anybody if I hear just background noise that is not part of the meeting input. Welcome all to January meeting of the Ottawa PC User Group. We have some guests with us tonight, I see, and so that's great. We welcome guests at any time. If you want to join, I have pasted into the chat window where you can go on our website to join up our group. It's only $20 a year. And if you miss that, if you just go to our website, opcug.ca, go on the homepage, and there's a link at the top for join or renew. Tonight's speaker is infamous Bob Ayres, and he has been working furiously over the last while on his presentation on an AI showdown. Bob is a longtime member of the Ottawa PCUs group, and he is a board member currently, but he has been a board member in the past and a election chair in the past, and so he's been doing a lot with the group. So I'd like to welcome Bob and turn it over to him to take us through tonight's presentation. So, Bob, take it away.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chris. Thank you. And thank you for all coming here. And I'll get this fired up. And see any sparks, please stand back. Here we go. And we're going to share that screen. And if you should see a blue screen now, right?
Yeah, blank desktop.
Good. And I'm going to hit... You should see a showdown gizmo now.
We do see that.
We're live now. Okay. There'll be a change later on. I'm going to hope to go to a live segment. That might be a bit of a tough change for me, but we're off to a good start. So, thank you all for coming. Welcome to the AI Showdown. Thank you very much, Chris, for the introduction, too. I'm Bob Ayres, and here we go. Let's get going. Today, we'll go through a brief introduction and a few terms. We'll learn about the different types of AI, compare a few platforms. Then we'll check out some practical and real uses. And then I'll be asking for your help and your opinions. Oh, and yes, we'll also be doing some virtual traveling today with AI. Now, first, I'd like to make this clear. I am not an expert. I do enjoy learning how to use AI. I always focus on the simple and the easy things. Everything you'll see here today is still currently free. However, some of the platforms are tightening up as it goes on further, but it's all still free today. So as AI continues to move forward at an amazing pace, I'm only able to show you what I've learned so far. But I am very hopeful, and I might even say confident, that each of you will learn something new today. Maybe even more than one or two things, I hope, if it goes well. So AI, artificial intelligence, is now everywhere around us, often in ways we don't even realize. It's deeply involved in social media. It's analyzing our browsing history for shopping recommendations. It's making massive strides in healthcare. For more than 5 years now, City of Ottawa has been using artificial intelligence to control traffic. They use it also to control community feedback and monitor the feedback. Ottawa police are using AI now to analyze crime patterns. Ottawa's broadcasters use AI tools for content creation. Our stores use it for inventory, marketing, and to control ESLs, electronic shelf labels. And they're also being used now to have prices change on a daily basis. This is called dynamic pricing. So having an AI literacy will allow us to adapt to a world that's changing very quickly. I'm hoping after today, everyone here will feel a little more comfortable in actually using AI. So I was at the office yesterday, and I met the new guy at the water cooler. He knows everything. He says, "Of course, I use AI all the time. I mean, it's basically all the same, right?" But what if it's not? There are two main types of AI. Creative AI excels at creative and open-ended tasks. Predictive AI is best suited for factual and up-to-date information. So what's the best type of AI that's suited for creating new and original content? That would be generative AI. It can actually generate content like text, images, letters, poetry. Now, ChatGPT is trained on humongous amounts of data. It uses deep learning to actually generate content. And yes, it can do many things, but when I want to generate content, I always consider ChatGPT. You should also know that ChatGPT can also access the internet directly. It does this by using a browser tool. Now, I won't spend too much time on the next slide here. I just want you to know there are many types of AI. And information retrieval AI is a subtype of predictive AI. So you might ask, what's the best, what type of AI excels at researching current information and up-to-date information? That would be predictive AI. Predictive AI can forecast outcomes based on past data. It can detect patterns, make recommendations, and even predict future events. And depending upon the prompt we use, predictive AI will call upon information retrieval to filter through large databases, the web, or real-time news to gather the information it needs. Perplexity AI uses predictive AI. Okay, now, before we proceed, I am required to inform you the following slides will be employing a form of hypnosis. In the future, whenever you hear the term generative AI or ChatGPT, I'd like you to think of a colorful and creative parrot. Parrots are vibrant, intelligent creatures known for their creativity. And also in the future, whenever you hear the term perplexity AI or predictive AI, you will think of a wise owl reading from a book. Owls are a symbols of wisdom and knowledge, and reading implies learning and understanding. Perplexity AI focuses on factual, up-to-date information. It uses predictive AI and information retrieval. So now we know both ChatGPT and Perplexity AI can access current information, but they each have their own methods for fetching data. So choosing the right one could affect your results. And sometimes it doesn't matter at all. It all depends on what you're doing. But sometimes you might want to choose the right one, something that's important. So I won't get too involved in this chart, but you might be interested in knowing that both of these tools have an information cutoff date. This refers to the information they already have indexed. It doesn't mean they can't access information after that cutoff date. But the cutoff date, and I checked this out just before New Year's Eve on December 29th, for ChatGPT, the cutoff date was October 2023, and Perplexity AI cutoff date is December 23. And there's more factors in there too, but that's the date that it has indexed, but it can go beyond that to find more current information. Now, ChatGPT's browser tool will search the internet much like you would. Perplexity AI's information retrieval is a little more structured, but it provides very accurate and concise responses. For many prompts, once again, it won't matter at all. But I believe you'll appreciate knowing this the next time that you want to create a prompt for something that's important to you. And this is something else. This is something else that you should know. We won't be using this too much today. But if you're not already aware of multimodal AI, you'll certainly be hearing a lot more about it in the coming weeks and the coming months. So what is multimodal AI? A multimodal AI can process or generate more than one type of data, and that could be text, images, audio, or video. Essentially, it excels in two-way interaction by using various inputs and outputs. Now, to be clear, a multimodal AI uses just that two modes two modes to be called a multimodal AI, but it doesn't have to use all four modes. And here we have little arrows going back and forth. Now, I'd like to tell you a lot about this image. I'm going to get hung up on this little image here. Like many of the images in tonight's deck, I made them myself. This one was important to me. I wanted you to understand what multimodal AI, I couldn't find a graphic that I liked, and this is one that, but anyway, I'm going to go into a ramble here. So I made this graphic using Ideogram, and there is no way that I'd be able to write a prompt for a graphic like this on my own. So first I went to ChatGPT, and I said, please help me make a prompt for Ideogram, and we had a discussion. I want to make a point here. When I first started using AI, I figured I'd enter a prompt and like magic, poof, it would appear. And it's true for many simple things. But if you're doing stuff for looking for something substantial or something precise, don't expect to achieve that in one prompt. The best way is break your topic down into smaller bites or chunks. And that'll help both you and ChatGPT zero in on what you're really looking for. A carpenter can't build a nice house in one step, and a chef can't make a gourmet meal in a single action. And the important thing to remember here is you do not need a manual. Remember, you're working with a conversational AI. Now, the final wording that ChatGPT got together for this prompt, I was a couple of versions on there, it said, create a colorful, minimalistic diagram representing multimodal AI. The diagram should feature a central block with arrows, and it goes on, and the background and everything. But I didn't get to that in one prompt. I didn't do all this work for all the graphics and this stuff. But once again, if you want to create something that's important to you in AI, you won't get it in one bite. Chew away at it a little bit, maybe two or three prompts. Let's keep moving on here, getting hung up. Now, I want to briefly mention two other tools that many of you will be aware of. In February 2024, Google Bard was renamed to Gemini. The current version of Gemini is 1.5. 2.0 is now available. It's free also. It's quite experimental, and it's not consistent. The free version of ChatGPT has been around for quite some time now in Canada. This chart shows Perplexity, Gemini, ChatGPT, and Copilot. These are not facts. These are simply my opinions. Each of these platforms has a free version. Gemini is very powerful, but I feel like it can be restrictive. It sort of gets sensitive when you touch anything related to news content, people's names, or faces. Microsoft Copilot offers good functionality for many things. I don't have the paid version of any of these AIs. I think Microsoft Copilot might be stronger when you pay for it and tie it with Office 365. Perplexity AI stands out for accuracy and always follows instructions. ChatGPT is user-friendly. It can generate content and often comes up with great ideas. This is pretty much the same thing here. These aren't facts or my opinions. One note in here, ChatGPT excels at creativity, but it's also prone to hallucinations. Usually, if you're writing an email better or trying to do better text and stuff, the result at the end, you're going to look at it, of course, anyway, and you'll spot anything in there. But it's not usually good to mix hallucinations and facts together. So don't trust ChatGPT for facts. Okay, now we're finished all the heavy lifting now. There's no more heavy lifting. I think you're all ready to get going here. Let's move forward. I'll need your help in this section. This is not a test, it's not a quiz. At times, I'll be asking you to turn on your microphones. And tonight, we have the AI Showdown. Let's get ready for a thrilling matchup between two powerhouse types of AI. In one corner, we have ChatGPT, the creative dreamer. And over here, we have Perplexity AI, the fact-checking champion. This is not a test. It's not a quiz. It's a friendly face-off where you get to be judge and jury. Let's get started. May the best AI win. And here we have an information request. Please show me the populations of the 10 biggest cities in Canada that are near water. I need your help now. Which would be the best AI to handle this prompt? Please speak up if you have any opinions here, please. And
just by virtue of the fact that I use it a lot, I'd go with Perplexity on something like that.
Very good. Thank you.
I agree. Perplexity.
Gemini.
Okay, good.
Because I am a Gemini.
Me too.
And if people want, they can throw it into the chat as well. I'll be monitoring it and I'll relay anything through the chat.
Create a poll.
Okay, well, that's good. Thank you very much for that, folks. In this one here, I did run through a couple. So I'm going to show you the answers that they provided. And we'll see what you guys think about the answers here. And I've picked a winner, but you guys decide your own. We won't go over this in detail. We're into the process, not the content. Anyway, ChatGPT said, here are the 10 largest Canadian cities near water. With their populations, it says Toronto had a population of 2.7 million. It's situated on the northwestern shore of Lake Ontario. And it goes on to explain the same for all the other cities for ChatGPT. But Microsoft Copilot came in next. It said, sure, here are the populations of the 10 biggest cities in Canada near water. And once again, it says Calgary, Alberta, has a population of 1.2 million. It's near the Bow River, and a right up for each one, much the same.
Ottawa's missing.
Yeah, where's Ottawa?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't show them all. It would have been off the screen. I didn't show them all, sorry.
Well, it should be bigger than Edmonton.
Ottawa's bigger than Edmonton, yeah, I would think.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe just the national capital.
We'll have more on that. That's a good point. That's coming up here.
But which is nearer water?
They all are, but Ottawa's got three rivers, so.
Yeah, there's water near. Each of the ones in the water looked pretty solid. The water part looks just like Winnipeg's in there too with the Red River, I think it was. Anyway, so here we go. Next one we have is Perplexity. And it was a little more concise in the wording. It used less words. It used bullet points. It also specified the body of water it was next to, or near. And here, the Winnipeg had a population of 750,000. It's near the Red River.
And they knew that Ottawa beat out Edmonton, too.
We have more on that right now. You're bang on. Here we have the next one, is Gemini. This was done about 10 days ago, a week or so ago. Gemini gave our list of cities without mentioning what water was nearby, just the hard list here. But some of the other population numbers were much higher than the other ones offered. For instance, Toronto here said 6.2 million. And the rest of them all said 2.7 million. Montreal, on this list, had 4.1 million. The other three said 1.7. I tried asking Gemini 2.0. It said the 2.7 million number for Toronto. Anyway. So, it was much higher numbers for some of the ones in Gemini. Now, so I guess in this one here, there's a little more to come yet. If we're going to go with the most current numbers for Gemini, we would have to give this to the award to Gemini, I believe. It wasn't what I expected on this one. Any other thoughts on this, anybody? Or?
You're saying on the previous slide, that was the 1 point whatever of Gemini numbers?
I generally use the 1.5 for these, because the 2.0 is very experimental. It's unpredictable. Yeah.
But in here, I would say Gemini didn't win because it gave 6.2, almost 6.3 million for Toronto.
It's a 2023
true.
Estimate.
That's right.
So it's
newer. It's newer.
Montreal's too big, too.
Yeah, I think it's considering the GTA, like, you know, Oshawa to Hamilton or something, because that's out of whack.
It could be the census metropolitan area from StatCan rather than the local government.
Yeah, but I think Gemini lost because it was out of whack. The other ones were all pretty close in the numbers for Toronto, right?
Yep. Anyway, that was certainly different. And
it doesn't give... It doesn't give the body of waters.
It didn't.
Yeah.
It did not. It didn't. Just trust it, I guess. It didn't quite give that in this one here. Just trust me for that. But anyway, I went and gave this to Gemini. And for full disclosure, I must inform you, I asked if we had a Copilot make a trophy. And I received this trophy from Microsoft Copilot. I want you to know my opinions regarding this gift were not influenced in any way. I simply asked Microsoft Copilot, please generate a graphic of a trophy for an AI that won a prize. Anyway, and we have one more thing in this topic here right now. Yesterday, I was reviewing these slides, and I went back to ask Gemini one more time yesterday on January 7th. I didn't mention the water thing. I just said to Gemini, what is the population of Toronto? And it said this time 2.7 million. And it gave a reference for this one for 2021. So we can't always different numbers are disturbing. So that's I don't know if the winner was correct on this one. Let's keep moving a little forward here. We have a few more of these to go through. Any more?
I checked Wikipedia, and according to Wikipedia, the Greater Toronto area had a 2021 population of 6,712,341 people.
Wow.
That might include Hamilton. You never know.
Yes. Yeah, I guess the areas aren't clear.
And Oshawa and Barrie.
Yeah. So it may have been a problem with my prompt there, too. So let's keep going a little forward here. Thank you for your advice here and comments. That's what I wanted to hear. And wrong screen here. Here we go. Okay. Now, we won't do this for every question we're going to go forward with. But getting started in these platforms, we're not going to go. We won't cover the actual sign-in for each of these AI platforms. But I want you to know getting started in these platforms is incredibly straightforward. You follow the on-screen instructions. It's very easy to do. Once you arrive at these prompts, you'll see something like this. It's very friendly. I do advise when you have these things set up, you bookmark these in your browser so you can find them really easily. I use bookmarks. I have Copilot pinned to my taskbar. So today we'll focus on getting the most out of these tools, but each one has a friendly prompt. You can enter your text. Now, let's try some fitness planning here. What we have here is a fitness planning. We have a very nice prompt. It says, please design a fitness prompt that I can do at home without any equipment. It's right to the point, concise. I certainly wouldn't expect this from someone just learning to use AI. This is written by somebody maybe was using AI to write this slide. Maybe that's possible. I'm not sure about that. I wouldn't comment on that. So let's try a prompt. It's a little more awkward. Let's try a prompt. And we're going to deliberately use a prompt that is, I would call, a poor prompt. I want you to realize that you don't need to have a good prompt to get a good result with these AI things. So our prompts, we want to get a fitness program here for planning, but our prompt is going to be a little awkward. It's not going to come out and ask for it. We're going to say, I want to do some fitness stuff. I don't have any equipment, but I don't want to go to a gym. Anyway, so this is an awkward prompt. We didn't come out and ask for a fitness program, but once again here, we're going to pop this prompt into all four of these AIs, and let's go with the answers here. Which one would you think would be better to handle this request, anybody? Any comments?
I got to stick with Perplexity.
Okay, Perplexity, one vote there.
Copilot.
Copilot, very good.
Gemini.
Chat. Okay. Well, for this one, I did all four. You guys,
that's
can be
probably
judge.
The better way is all four.
Yeah, well, no, but for this one here, I wanted to get to see the comparison here. We didn't do it for all. We compared all four. So for the first one here is ChatGPT. It said, no equipment, no problem. You can create a solid fitness routine at home. It's effective and even fun. It gave us a full page of various exercises that included time limits for each one with a warm up and cool down. It had tips to stay motivated. And finally, even though we didn't ask for it, it offered to create a weekly routine for us. Then we had next here is Copilot. It replied very enthusiastically and said, no worries. I have you covered. There are plenty of workouts you can do at home without equipment. And a friendly little out thing here. And it also offered to set us up with a routine. Had a little smiley at the bottom. Those little smiley in the graphic was a friendly tone that it offered in the reply for Microsoft Copilot. And for Gemini fans, Gemini said, that's awesome. You don't need a gym or fancy equipment. Here are a few ideas. And once again, it gave an excellent summary. It ended with, you've got this. And it offered to do a routine for us, even though we really didn't come out and ask for it. And the final one we asked here was Perplexity AI. It had a more formal approach, very concise and credible. And it gave citations for all its sources that it generated. But I shouldn't use the term generated because it really didn't generate anything. It just compiled and gathered a list from a wide range of sources, valuable suggestions, for building routines, staying motivated, and setting up a program, and it even offered videos for us here. This would probably be the best one, the most comprehensive one here, but I didn't hear your comments when I made these slides. I felt the best one for me to work with would be ChatGPT. So I gave the award to ChatGPT. Anybody want to argue this?
They all did pretty good.
They did, yes.
I think the weekly routine was a great idea.
Yeah.
And what I wanted to get across, we didn't really come out and ask for it. We tried to use a backward or an awkward prompt, and it still gave us some pretty good results, really. So they're all quite well. That was very good. I might mention here also, when I go back a little bit here, anyway, I use the word please in most times when doing these prompts. And I do that for a reason. The tone that you use affects the tone that comes back to you. And in many times, it comes back with a more of a friendly tone and all of that. So now let's...
Bob, just before you go on, it's interesting. Isaac pasted in the chat something interesting going along with this idea of the tone. He said he wrote a prompt in Spanglish, so Spanish and English words mixed up, into ChatGPT. And the very first thing he wrote before getting into the answering question was, "I understand your mix of English and Spanish." So that's pretty cool.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it'll take grammar errors too. Like grammar, spelling mistakes are really overlooked. Question marks are optional. Be clear if you can, though.
Yeah.
Yep. No, very good. No, it's easier than you think, these things. You don't need to put in concrete data to get nice outputs. And by the way, these platforms are starting to tighten up now. I would think in a year from now, we won't have the access we have today in these things. So let's go forward here, and I'm going to show you now some old news. Everybody wants old news. Didn't advance. Here we go. So one of the largest banks in Canada hired a company to do a survey in June 2024, which was 6 months ago, a little more. The survey revealed one-third of all Canadians were using AI to manage their finances. And the survey revealed almost two-thirds of young Canadians were using AI to manage their finances. I'm not sure which category I fall into, but I won't comment about that. But anyway, people are using AI. So let's do a question on personal finance. Personal finance management. We have a prompt here. And which is best for this prompt? The prompt is, develop a basic retirement savings strategy for a 35-year-old software engineer in Ottawa with a $90,000 annual salary. So what's the best AI, would you think, to handle this prompt, please?
Perplexity. Because you want the stats.
That's a good answer. I would, and in this instance, I only did the one prompt here. And we picked perplexity. Took it one step further. Perplexity, we popped that same prompt into perplexity. But this time, something like this, I used the pro search. You get so many of those per hour on the free account. I find with perplexity, if you ask a good question, you don't even need to put in the pro prompt. It gives great content. But I turned pro on for this one with a little button, and lo and behold, it did an awesome bang-up job here. It didn't fit. We had 7 pages of text. At age 35, all this. If you haven't reached that, don't worry. There's still time to catch up. And in mere seconds, had a very comprehensive plan. It was way too much information on here to put the post for you here. but it was solid. And I think Perplexity would be the best one to handle this. And then when I pressed it further on and on, you don't get it all in one bite, it said, Perplexity AI can explain financial concepts, strategies, and guide you to reputable resources. Always seek professional advice when making major financial decisions. And but Perplexity, whether you're using that as a go-to one or an advisor, when you ask it a question, it gave background for all the TFSAs, the RRSPs, the CPC. Anyway, it was too much to print on here. And Perplexity is, in my opinion, be the great choice for this one here.
Bob, now, do you happen to know if all of them pick up on the fact that you're in Canada? Because this one with the TFSA and RRSPs, obviously it is, you know, you'd get a different answer, I would assume, if you were doing it from the States.
That's true. Now, remember that our prompt said an Ottawa software engineer, too.
Oh, right? Okay. Sure.
And I realized I've been studying these slides. But it's an excellent question. When I'm searching for things, I'm not a privacy nerd here. I often get my postal code sometimes. I'm Bob Harris, K2S1P6. And with that postal code, whether you're shopping or whatever, the area really affects the answers. So that's a good point, Chris. Yes. Thank you very much. So if you don't say where you are, it won't know where you are necessarily. So put it in context. That's important. So there's been a lot of hard work so far right now. Let's go for a little bit of a change now. Let's time a little break here and try something a little bit different. Let's do a little bit of traveling. We'll come back to some prompting later. So here we have here. Let's go and check out a website. I found a website that claims it can use artificial intelligence to determine the exact location that any photograph in the world was taken. Is this possible? Does it really work? The website is called GeoSpy. It says, unlock the power of AI image intelligence to find a photo's location. I've heard rumors this is being used by law enforcement agencies and insurance companies all around the world. But that could be fake news. Can it really analyze any image and reveal its exact location? It might be another case of just too good to be true. But I think we need to find out. So right here on the AI Showdown, we're going to find out if this really works. So first, we're going to need some photographs from all over the world. And because I know you want the real truth about GeoSpy, we're going to need a real expert. We need someone who has traveled the world. We need a real professional. So in this segment, I'd like to introduce our expert judge for the GeoSpy Challenge. No one is more qualified to fill this role than the highly respected GeoSpy judge, Linda Buskey. Please welcome me in joining Linda, a seasoned photographer who knows her way around the camera and a mystery. Hello, Linda.
Okay, thanks, Bob. So I'll have you forward the slides for me. But just before I do get started on this, Bob got me interested in GeoSpy, and his timing was perfect because I'd been using Google reverse image searches for a few photos from the early 1900s, and I was trying to place where they were in the world. I knew it was Southeast Asia, and that was about all. So I will show you one of those examples, but it just Google came up with absolutely nothing. And so when Bob introduced me to GeoSpy, I was a bit blown away how quickly it did give me an answer. But let's go through and see the pros and cons. So next slide, please.
Great, Linda. Thank you very much. And Linda, I have to warn you, this crowd tonight is eager. They're all sitting on the edge of their seats because they want to know, does GeoSpy really work? Will it crumble under its pressure? or deliver its promises. So let's uncover the real truth and see if this is just a clever illusion or whatever.
Let's do that.
Here we go. And the first photograph we have here, thank you to Linda for offering these amazing photographs.
So what I want you to do is guess this location.
Move the mud. St. Nope. John's.
Peggy's nope. Cove.
Peggy's Cove.
Yes. Well done, Peggy's Cove, Nova Scotia. So this is a very, very well-known site. It's in Canada, but it is a well-known site in Canada. So my feeling was GeoSpy would probably do a pretty good job of this, but I wasn't sure because it was Canada, right? It wasn't a location in the United States or something like that. So let's see how it did.
And here's the answer from GeoSpy. GeoSpy reported that Peggy's Cove, Nova Scotia.
Yes. So it did a fine job. It located it exactly where it is. So, and the latitude, longitude, like that, and it shows the map. And I like when you see the map. So I found that very useful, and I was fine with that. And it gives you, you know, what camera you took it with, and I chopped it off. It had even more camera information below that because it's taking, I guess, some EXI info off my image. Okay, let's go on to the next one.
Yeah, there's the answer, Peggy's
okay,
Cove.
So there's the full answer, located in Nova Scotia, surrounded by rugged granite rocks, blah, 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 blah. So it did a good job. So we give it a check mark for sure.
Very good. Got that right.
So
the next one here.
The next one.
Very good. Can you guess location of this photograph?
So give it a try, even if you just want to guess the country.
Norway?
And yes, and to answer the question in the chat, there was no GPS on my phone or on my camera. So, yeah. Yes, it's Norway. Okay,
very
so
good.
Let's see how it did, what it discovered from this photo. So well, it said it was in Mosfjeld in Norway, depicts the typical fjord landscape. And I think that's the key. A lot of fjords look alike. There aren't features that distinguish one from the other. When I showed this photo to some friends, they all thought they'd been in the same fjord as me, and they had not. So this, to me, is a very tricky thing for GeoSpy to do. So let's see how it did.
Yeah. So, and the answer coming up here, it did say Norway in the answer, but it was 300 kilometers off, I guess.
Yeah, so it didn't get the right exact location. It found the right country, and that's great. But as I say, this is not the type of image I would use GeoSpy for, just because geography is really tough to home in on a specific geographical feature when there's so many mountains and fjords and trees, etc., that look alike. I mean, picture putting in a photo of trees in northern Ontario. You're not going to get much. So that was fine. I wasn't overly disappointed. It did get the right country, just not the right location.
Great. Thank you, Linda. Okay. And next in line here, we have, can you guess this location?
So does anybody know where this was taken?
Hong Kong or the Netherlands?
Nope. Close. Netherlands, close. Yes. Netherlands, close. It was actually taken in Copenhagen.
All right.
In Denmark. So close. And I only used it because I thought, okay, it's a pretty famous building. And so its guess, it got it right just because it is the Opera House. And I thought, well, it's pretty distinctive design, and it did get this one right.
Very good. And it's a symbol.
And I think that's some of the kinds of things that it can be good for.
Yeah.
Okay, next.
The next one's a very unique building here we have. Can you guess this photo location?
So I don't really think, I don't suspect anybody will get this one from the audience, but let's see if GeoSpy came up with something.
Iceland?
No, it's actually what GeoSpy said was Andøya Space Center, Andenes in Norway. And that's fine because it is in Norway, so it got the architect right, and it might be the same architect, but certainly that type of architecture is fairly common in you know, the Norway and Finland and Sweden, that those clean lines and that. So it got Norway, but let's see the next slide. In terms of location, it did not get the right location. It's actually the Norwegian Coastal Express Museum, so nothing to do with space, and it was the wrong location. So even though it was a fairly distinctive building, if it's a popular style or the architect really got around in Norway and had other jobs, it's not necessarily going to know.
Yeah, very good. And we have one coming up next. It's a beautiful waterfall. Would anybody know where this waterfall is?
Anybody know this?
Looks like
a water fountain. Sorry.
The water seems to be going up.
That's a water fountain. I'm sorry.
Yes, but where is it?
Bouchard Gardens.
Yes, thank you, Tom. All right, so Bouchard Gardens, very famous gardens in near the city of Victoria, Victoria area in British Columbia. Now, this was one I put in purposely because I thought it might be quite a challenge for GeoSpy, again, because it's basically geography. There's lots of gardens around the world that have fountains. You know, Vegas has lots of fountains. So I was blown away that it found it, because it really just had the greenery around it and this fairly common shaped water fountain. So that was pretty impressive. I did not think it would get it.
There were flowers.
The flowers help, but yeah, lots of gardens have flowers. So I was just impressed it got it. And those flowers change, of course, depending on the season. So it had to. But here's a place that it's probably one of Canada's most famous gardens, if not the most famous garden. So it is, lots of Canadians visit, but lots of huge numbers of Asian tourists and things like that come to it, take pictures. It's had its picture gets taken probably a zillion times a day all through the year, because it's Victoria. It's not going to get snowed under. So I think just the massive volume of photos from this area is what enabled GeoSpy to get it right.
And apparently this fountain, it's dynamic. It's always changing. And there's lights around it at night. It's illuminated at night.
Yep, for sure. And yeah, it does change. It goes up and down. But as I say, lots of gardens around the world have that. But I think it's just because it's so well photographed, that if it was another garden that looked like this elsewhere in Canada, it probably wouldn't pick it up. But the fact it's you know, it's looking at images all over the world, and there's lots for this one.
And apparently GeoSpy does use the vegetation and whatever it can get its fingers into, whatever. It tries everything it can.
Cool.
Okay. Go ahead now?
Yep.
Okay. Where is this photograph? Here, Linda.
Yeah, this was the one that I originally had struggled with, and I was from a 1909 image. And I thought it would be really useful to tell people if, you know, a reverse Google would work. It did not. But then I wanted to check out GeoSpy because a lot of people have old photos of maybe your parents or grandparents, and there's something in the background. You have no idea where they were, and you'd like to kind of know, well, where were my parents standing when that photo was taken? Now, as I say, all I knew was it was Southeast Asia. So let's see what GeoSpy did.
We have guests from Brett saying India,
Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. Sorry, I didn't allow people to guess because I didn't think they'd be able to. But yes, it's yep. Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. And when I checked back with the person who owned this image, he had some notes that was on their itinerary of places they'd been. So I'm pretty sure that this has done a pretty good job to find that building. And I was pretty sure the building still existed today. It looked pretty solid, even though it was built in 1868. So I was very impressed, and that's what kind of got me going on GeoSpy, was the fact that I could use it for some of these old images.
Great. Well done.
So next.
Okay. Next one we have is got a beautiful building and a nice, call it a golden picture, the sunrise or golden hour, is it?
Okay. So does anybody recognize this? Anybody want to take a crack at this?
Scotland?
No, it's good guess. It's actually near Almont, but let's see what GeoSpy came up with. So you're right. It says Old Kirk, like a Scottish church, but it thought it was Kirkfield, Ontario, which is not what it said, but close enough, I guess. But so it did not get this right because it wasn't reading the sign correctly. So it says Kirkfield, Ontario, because the sign above the gate said Kirkfield. No, it doesn't. It says Old Kirk. So, you know, and anybody who's driven from Almont to anywhere else probably has seen this church. So anyway, I was just wanted to throw in that I didn't expect GeoSpy to recognize the building because it's, you know, not a well-photographed, not a famous place in Ottawa or near Ottawa. But I did think it would read the sign better.
Well, actually, when you think about it from a machine reading point of view, that's not entirely clear that it's just
easy.
Kirk. So,
it's
yeah, it's a
just,
difficult one.
It got the Kirk, but it didn't get the A-U-L-D.
Yeah.
Anyway, and it added field on the end. So I guess it went with Kirk, and then it found a Kirk field and decided that's close enough. So,
and it's an awesome
picture.
It's an awesome picture too, because this is a beautiful spot just outside of Elmont, heading towards Middleville, and great picture.
Beautiful. This was taken in November, I think. Or just there's a little bit of snow kicking around. It was not a beautiful time of year, but that church looks beautiful no matter what the season.
Yes. Okay. Then we have a red and white building coming up here now. Could you guess this photograph location?
You already want to take a crack at this one? I included this one because it's quite a well-known lighthouse. It's a distinctive sort of shape and coloring pattern.
Signal Hill, Newfoundland?
No, it is. You got the right province, but...
Yeah, the guess of Scotland.
No, it's a lot of lighthouses do look alike. But let's see what GeoSpy came up with.
Our GeoSpy says this is the Cape Race Lighthouse, Newfoundland, Labrador.
Yeah. So it got the province right. It got the location dead wrong. It's Bonavista, which is very far from Cape Race. But what was interesting was I put in another lighthouse from Newfoundland, from Twillingate, which I thought, well, that's, you know, a UNESCO site. It's going to be photographed many, many times. So is this one. But it didn't even get the province right. It had the Twillingate Lighthouse in Nova Scotia. So at least this one, it got Newfoundland right. But again, we're getting down to areas that are not photographed very often. Even a lot of Canadians haven't been to Newfoundland. So it's not, I'm not surprised that this was, a little off.
Okay, very good. So we do have one more coming up here, Linda's awesome photographs. And thank you, by the way, Linda, for these photographs. They couldn't be the same. And we go, here we go, here we go, there we go.
Who's the first that's going to call this one out?
Niagara Falls.
There we go.
Ontario.
Well done.
Yes.
So again,
Ontario's
a very...
has got the other falls in the country.
Well, and that's the thing. So I wanted to make sure that found it, not just Niagara Falls, because it is so, so well photographed, but I wanted to make sure it wasn't claiming to be on the U.S. side. So let's see the details that they came up with on the next slide. I think when they show... Okay, we don't have the map, but with the map you could tell, it says on the Canadian side, and with the map you could see they had it right. So that made
it is
sense.
Interesting, though, that the photograph itself doesn't show any of the U.S. side.
Nope.
Yep.
But so it realized that was just the Horseshoe Falls.
Very good. That's great. Now, that's all we have. We have some more stuff coming up on this here, but thank you, Linda, for all these awesome photographs.
Welcome.
Okay, before we go on to other topics, we did have a few things in the comments that are probably worth exploring. Ed asked, how does this compare to a Google image search? Have you tried that at all, Linda?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. That's what got me started on GeoSpy was I was trying Google image search, the reverse search where you load up your image and they find it, and it could not find any of the old photos I put up. I mean, I'm not 100% sure that the Kuala Lumpur one is correct, but it aligned with what I knew and what seemed to be right, but it didn't find anything. It had zero suggestions. Now, I've used the Google image searches for many things like flowers. I'm not sure of birds. I'm not sure of the species, and I find it very, very useful. But for location, I just found this trumped it.
Karen asks, how fast does it return the results?
Oh, my goodness. It's very, very fast. I'd say probably less than 10 seconds.
Okay. And Isaac, I guess more of a comment than anything else. Can you give it an artificially generated image? It would be interesting to see what it would guess.
Yeah. Well, it's just going to compare it with a zillion other images, and it'll pick something that looks similar. I mean, that's all it's really doing. It's not... it's basing it on the collection of the world's images, I presume.
Yeah. Brett commented GeoSpy needs to be trained on a much larger database of images.
Yeah.
So I guess it's growing all the time.
Yeah, that will build for sure. And don't forget, people post images. I see this all the time. They post images to Instagram and Facebook, and they label them incorrectly. They get them wrong. So it's building wrong information in as well. So you have to always, only as good as the data that's going in, and not everybody gets it right.
And this is also a free site. I believe Linda knows this too. I think you can get 6 per day, right?
I think it's 6 per day, yes.
Yes, on your Google account, whatever, but with free account, yes.
Yeah, you have to basically sign in with your Google Gmail kind of thing address, and then you get your freebies.
Okay, that's all the questions or comments, I think, the main ones anyways for the chat. We have some other ones that are going back to previous topics. I'll hold those until after the presentation and then bring those forward.
Thanks.
Okay. Just by the by, there's a game called GeoGuessr, which uses mainly Google Street View photos from all over and other photos. There's a YouTube channel of a GeoGuessr who takes photos that people have sent in that are maybe years old, and he tries to guess them. Usually he does a very good job with those. I'll send a link to the YouTube channel.
That'd be fun.
There's a link to the GeoGuessr game in the chat.
Well, great. Well, those were awesome photographs, Linda. Thank you so much. Now, there's many people here who might be interested in seeing more photographs like those. Now, we're going to find out about that right now. And we get this. So thank you, Linda. When it comes to photography, your opinions are always appreciated. And thank you for sharing all these wonderful photographs. And if you're interested in seeing maybe a few more of these photographs, I know I've been to several of Linda's armchair travel events. And let me tell you, there's something special. Linda has a unique way of combining the fascinating stories with the travel adventures. And it's very enjoyable. Some of them are online and some are in person here now. I'll let Linda comment about these future here.
Yeah, so just coming up in the near future, January 21st, I'm doing Iceland in the afternoon. That's live. I'm doing Baltic at Rockcliffe, which is East End, of course. Ireland, Scotland, two locations, Alta Vista in February and the PN Center Point in March. Doing Norway at Blackburn Hamlet, so East End, and I'm doing one on Alaska that's a Zoom event. I don't know if it's posted yet in the library because they have to.
Yeah, it is. They are up on the OPL website as well as the OPCUG website.
Okay, and I think that was in March, but anyway, I can put that in the chat. I don't have that.
I think it's March 30th or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
And if folks sign up now, you can get in for free.
Maureen, yes, they're all at the libraries except for the last one, which is going to be a Zoom one. So the last one that is not on the list here, that's the Alaska one, it will be on Zoom and it'll be towards the end of March.
Well,
and if you're not a library member, just send me an email and I'll make sure that if for any reason it gets canceled, I will contact you.
Great. Well, awesome photographs, Linda. And Linda has a ton more photographs to show you. And the photographs and the experience and the stories with them make them all come alive. So consider these. And they can find these on the website, I guess, can they?
Yep.
Yes. There's the OPCUG at OPL link on the homepage of OPCUG. There's a tab at the top, and it will give you all the locations and link to the library, or you can go directly to your library site and find under events and programs.
Thank you, Linda. You've added a lot of credibility to this segment here, and you're an excellent GeoSpy judge. Fantastic. Thank you so much, Linda.
No problem.
Very good. Okay, we're going to move forward here now, and we're going to get back to the AI showdown, and thank you. And let's get back to the AI showdown. But first, I'd like to say a few words now before we get back into here. These birds are getting pretty vicious, and they're going to hang on a little longer. I'd like to say a few words about prompting here. Now, everybody's used to clicking on buttons and boxes. And for those that are just starting to learn AI, you might find a blank prompt to be overwhelming. I know when I started to use AI, I really didn't know what to do with a blank prompt. People don't know what to do. They're fear of getting it wrong, and they don't want to put the wrong thing down. They start there and look at like a blank pen and paper. There's no such thing as a bad question. And try something simple to start off with. Give me ideas for this this problem, whatever you want to put in there. Give it a topic or a content, whatever. If you don't know what to say, you can say that. You can say, I don't know what to say, and it'll walk you right through it. It doesn't matter. So people have it. It's called prompt paralysis is a term for it. I can say that I've had it, but I had it double because I can't type. So in addition to that, the prompt issues, I had a major thing that I couldn't type. I can tell you $30 for a headset and the voice dictation was a game changer for me. So when the words cost you money, like you're putting in a sentence and it's painful to write because you just can't get I can spell, but I can't type. But consider a voice. You can type with your, I have it on right now. It's a little complex with the Zoom and my Windows dictation. That's a little bit of a conflict here. But anyway, the prompting is easy to do here. So now we're going to do one more thing here. We're going to go for a shift here now. Whoa, hold on, Mr. Eagle. The showdown is not over yet here. We're just going to move to an online portion here, and the showdown is not over. We're going to have this part is going to be me juggling here and get ready for fireworks. So we're going to try a shift here. I'm going to share. And we're going to go to advanced. We're going to share a portion of the screen. I hope I got this right. There. You still see that, don't you? Okay, good.
We're seeing the PowerPoint in speaker mode. Okay, yeah.
Great, thank you very much. I'm going to close this down. And now I'm going to bring over. For me, this is a lot to do. I can work my PC. So now we're picking up the same slide on a PDF file. It's pretty crude technology here. I'm going to go that here. And I get this here. And I get that. Okay. So now we're going to move forward here and keep going on the showdown here. So let's try a creative writing. We have to write a 150-word short story about a mysterious computer glitch in Ottawa. Which AI would we use for this one? Any comments?
ChatGPT?
Yeah, ChatGPT. I would think ChatGPT. Yeah.
I think that's fantastic. So let's give it a shot here right now. I told you this is easy. It's not easy for me here with this. I'm going to slide over here, and I make this box. So far it's working, and you should be able to...
Yeah, we got it.
See a little box here now. Now, I have on my screen, I have right here. Is my mouse visible now at all?
Yes, it is.
I have here, we have ChatGPT. Over here, we have Perplexity AI. If I want to go to my Gemini, open the waffle over there, and there's Gemini. And then I'll bring it down a little bit on the bottom. On the bottom row, pinned to my taskbar is Copilot. So I have quick access to all these things. But as you said here, someone suggested Gemini. Let's try Gemini. And here we go. We open Gemini.
ChatGPT.
Sorry, thank you very much, Chris. Thank you very much. I need more RAM. So, and my lightning typing speed here is just lightning here. Please write a 150-word story about a mysterious computer glitch in Ottawa. So if anybody hasn't used ChatGPT before, here we are doing it together, and we're going to press a little button here, and we're going to go for it, and what's it going to say? And here we have a quiet suburb in Ottawa. Lydia powered her laptop on to finish a report, only to find an unfamiliar program running, and her little story's up here. And she attempted to collect her mouse was unresponsive, and a great little story. Now, if you don't like this story, give me something, please, we should add into this story, because there's a new person here with ChatGPT, and they don't like this story. They want to add something else. What can we add to this story, please?
A romantic interest.
Okay, please add... Okay, now there we go. Spelling mistake here. Here we go here. Romantic interest. There we go. And we'll click on there. And lo and behold, right away, whatever you want done, ChatGPT is very compliant here. And it's amazing here. So there's nothing you can't do with ChatGPT. If you haven't used it, it really is this easy here. You can copy your reply here, right here, paste it to wherever you want to go, and all that. So this is one example we just did. This was creative writing here, and that one went pretty smooth here. Now, for one more here, folks, thank you for your help and interactions here. Summarizing text. What is the best AI to use to summarize text?
Notebook AI.
I might try Copilot.
Okay. I'm going to go with Perplexity for this one, okay?
Yep.
So I have some ideas on this one here. Now, does everybody here know about TLDR?
Yes.
Too long, didn't read.
Well, for somebody that can't type, you're supposed to put that little colon or the semicolon in the middle, and that's way too much work. So I'm going to tell you, you don't have to use that little colon, semicolon, okay? You just use the TLDR, maybe a space after it. But did you know there are options? And you have options. I'm here to show you options tonight here. Here we go. Bringing back ChatGPT. We're going to pop open a new browser window on here and hope that's viewable to you people.
Yep.
And here, we're going to go to, want to summarize text. I have a couple of things bookmarked here. We're going to go show down. I had some middle notes on the side here. I have here. We're going to go with here. Okay. The Consumer Electronics Show here is on right now. And we've got a little file. I'm sorry for the – this is a lot for me to do with the Zoom thing here. And I think we're going to go with –
Your second one is TLDR?
This one here, Blake, here. Okay. So this is PC World. The consumer, there'll be an ad here. I'm sorry. I get the ad down in a minute here. It's going to watch that. And how do I find a button on these things? It's going to go away. There we go. Okay, very good. So here we have an article on the Consumer Electric show here. And it's got all this stuff here, and I'd like you to sit here and read through the whole article, but we don't have time to go through all this stuff, do we? Look at all the stuff on here. We want to find out what here. So look at this. The article, if I read the news in the morning, I don't have time to go through all this stuff. So we're going to go right here and copy the URL. Control-C, copy. Open a new tab here for Perplexity AI. And we type in TLDR space and copy in our URL. And lo and behold, we don't need to read the whole article. Here we have, the showcase provides insights and on the latest tech. And we got here, very brief here right now. Now, I wanted to tell you, here, try this one more time. I'm going to, in Perplexity, you edit the query. I'm going to try it one more time. I didn't use a pro search here, on and off. I'm going to try it one more time here. And there. Okay, very good. Okay. So now, I'd like to know about the laptops in this one here. So I'm going to edit my prompt here. TLDR. I'm going to put in show me the laptops and the space between my text and here and try this with that same text. And here we have the same text. It showed me the laptops here that are all based in this article over here. We have the Acer One, the Lenovo here. So I don't know if you know, when you want to read this article, you don't need to go through all these things here. Just show me the laptops. We're still on the same tab for Perplexity. We can edit the, and what's the other one here? Lenovo, right? I want to save, go back to this thing here. We're still using the same tab in Perplexity. Edit that. Show me the, Control-C, Lenovo laptops. Let's narrow it down. Here we go here. And now, it's boiled down to the Lenovo, oh, a little more than that in here, too. But it's a top one, nope, Lenovo they, here.
Yeah, too. No, ThinkBook is part of Lenovo as well.
Okay, very good. Then I got it right. But anyway, so you don't have to read the whole article here. You just TLDR, and you put in what you want to stuff. TLDR alone is not here. I'd like to do it a little more here. Go back to here again, and we're the same one here right now. Show me the laptop, and we'll put in features. And here we go here, save it again. So the lesson here, this is a conversational AI. And here we have the features for the laptops. Look at this. It shows you the screen size and all that here, all the way down for all the laptops. We can do this for each of these. So anyway, you can take this here. Let's try one more. We have other ones here, and we have, here we go here. Michelin posted something about here other night. It was last night. A great article on Perplexity and ChatGPT. This follows our theme here. It's a little article from Tom's Guide. And it says he just tested Perplexity AI with 7 prompts, and here's the stuff here. Oh, it's quite a long article. Look how long this was on forever. We're going to have to sit here and read through the whole thing. But I don't think we have time for this. So I want to get to the meat and potatoes of this. So to keep things simple, I'll close this tab so we don't have to get things going too much. I'll get confused. So we'll pop open a new window of, and we'll put in here, TLDR, space, go back. I didn't get the URL out of that. We copy and paste that. Come back over to here. And this is our basic search here. There's no pro search on. We don't need that here. And here we go live here, and we're showing you live. We have all these things here. Now, we can go back here. We can pick out, this was here. It's a battle here. So let's edit the query and TLDR show me who won the prompts. This is painful typing. I'm sorry about this. Here we go. So under who won the prompts, I don't have time to read the whole article. I want the nuts and bolts. I want the real answers, like Linda gave us for GeoSpy. And here we have, here's the answers for each of the prompt here. We have for the quantum survey, Perplexity won that. The winter prom was with ChatGPT. That's something you'll understand here. And anyway, this is the way to summarize any article you want to. And I want to have, I think this is a little hard to read, don't you think so, in a table like that? So let's go back here again. I'd like to see I want to see it in a table. Easier for me to compare. Put a little space after that. We'll try that. Can it do it? What do you think?
Sure.
And there it is in a table. We have the prompt, and the winner was there. Just the facts we asked for. There's nothing you can't put. Once again, but with your blank prompt syndrome, whatever you call it, it's a conversational AI. You put in what you want to put in, and it'll do anything for you you ask. So now, the advanced. Let's go for summarizing text advanced. What is the best AI for summarizing text that you do not have? Anybody give me a hand? This one, please. Mm-hmm. How do you summarize text you don't have?
You point to the URL?
Well, I'll show you how we do it here. But this is possible. I do it all the time. I'm going to bring back. This is going so well so far here. Here, we'll try a new one here, a new window here, and we'll close that up because I get too many open. So we'll go here, and we'll open a I had one in mind here. Here we go. I don't have. I'm going to go here. And I want to show you. Oh, here we go. Okay. Now, you guys all want to know the top 10 AI trends in 2025 you can't ignore. You all want to see this, I'm sure. You want to see this. Here we go. Let's check this out. You guys are all here because you want to know the top AI trends. Here we go. The top AI trends you can't ignore in 25. Artificial intelligence here. Oh, boy. Bob didn't subscribe to it. We can't get it. What can we do? Any ideas?
I assume it's not subscribe.
But I want to know the top AI trends, but...
And summarize it. Summarize it.
No, not at all.
URL.
So we're going to take this text here, copy and paste that, open a new window over here, and back to my friend Perplexity AI. And we're going to put in TLDR. Please. Finish this text. Wait, I'm getting a little mixed. Oh, so we don't need the TLDR here. I'm sorry. I'm working hard with my stuff here. So this was not TL. So be putting in, please finish this text and put a colon here. And we're going to copy in the first part we have so far. I'll put a space. And I know Chris can use the multiple buttons on the keyboard. I can do that too, but I'm going to do it the manual way here. But please finish this text and my colon. Go back to here, and I'm going to copy this right here with the control and go down to the bottom and get all that I can grab for now, and then control C. Go back to Perplexity, and then we'll put a space in here so it doesn't jam up. And there we have. So now we're going to get the top 10 AI trends that you can't ignore in 2025. But wait, why settle for 10? Let's take the top 15. We're not paying for it. Here we go. Now we're going to go, here we go. And lo and behold, we have the top AI trends 15. And here we come down here. And here they are. We have the top trends here. Multimodal, I told you that. Look at that. I told you that it was coming up on board, and there it is. Lo and behold. And the AI, Edge, these are, and we got 15, not just 10, so you got more than you paid for. This is how you finish text you don't have. And you might find somewhere a website you don't really trust. Maybe you don't like that website. You really want to know about the top trends, but it's a brutal website, but you still want to know the information. Please finish this text. We'll do it for you. It really works. So that's how we finish text that we don't have, and that really works. Any questions on that from anybody, your comments?
Yeah, we've got one from Isaac in the chat. How can we be sure that the summaries accurately reflect the content from the source, similar to what was discussed earlier with hallucinations?
That's a good point. It does not copy, and I have tried this before. I have taken an article that I did have access to, and I put in only the first couple of paragraphs, and it doesn't magically guess it word for word. It recreates something very similar, and I trust Perplexity for some good judgment, but it won't be the same. It's pretty darn close, but you're right, it's not identical.
So there's, I like, though, that when they have the references all throughout it, so when it answers and you can see little numbers that correspond to the references at the top, and so you see the threes and things like that.
Yes, that too.
Yeah, so that can be really handy where you can actually go to the article.
Yes, and these things aside here, they're all great. And but I do trust Perplexity. If it's really important, you can put your pro search on, but we're still using the same tab. We go back to the top here. We can, where's the button here? We can edit our query again and still change that query and change and edit with that. Mm-hmm. But Perplexity will do a lot, and there's no rule book here. For the TLDR, you can ask for bullet points. You can put anything you want. And the text, you can say, finish this text in a table. And anything you want to put in, it will do whatever you ask. And that's me with the blank prompt. I was, for many months and a long time, I was too stupid. I didn't know I could do so many things. But it's all there. You just have to ask. And the blank prompt, it's more, the limits are my imagination.
What about articles that are only the front part is shown and the rest is behind a paywall?
Well, just put the front part you have and it'll guess the rest. It won't be the same.
Okay.
Yep. No, that really works. This, and the prompt we used here was just please finish this text. I got confused with the TLDR. I really and naturally do this in the morning. I read a lot of news, and the ones I can't get to, I'll get something very close and get the story. If you couldn't get the article, anyway, this is all very doable. Okay, let's move on to one more here. Image creation. Design a...
Just as a time check, we're getting to the last 10 minutes or so. We can go over a little bit, but
Okay. Design a logo for a fictional tech startup here, and let's try one here. We haven't tried Microsoft Copilot yet. I would like to touch on Gemini, but we'll come back to here. We'll bring the bar down to the bottom here. And we'll open up Copilot, designing a logo. Here's Copilot opening up here. And I'm a fast typer. We're going to copy here. So design a logo for a fictional tech startup called Ottawa Innovate that combines elements of technology and nature. And we pop this on here. And lo and behold, here comes our graphic. It's that easy. There's nothing to it.
It looks great.
Well, it's pretty quick. It's doing a lot of work here.
Yeah, I find mostly image generation sites do take a little bit of time to come up with something.
Wow. This is not usual. Oh, look at this. We had a flop. We don't see that too often. But it usually works, okay? Here. Something simpler here, a quick one, I don't know. For a fictional tech startup. Come on, Copilot. I'm not a big fan of Copilot. We almost tried it the last time for Copilot. I've never had a total flop with Copilot.
Until now.
Until now. So.
You have to pay out every month. And here's how you can get a cut of it. My name is Charlotte Nicholson, and we help everyday people.
We have a flop with Copilot. We're going to abort Copilot. Let's move on. Which one will use this one here? How do we summarize videos? What's the best AI for summarizing a video?
Gemini.
Bang on. Good answer, Tom. Thank you. So we'll bring back our browser over here, and we'll pop open a new window here.
They do own YouTube.
Yes. So I had one in mind for you. Show down here. And, we got mixed up here now. I have a lot of one new fact tech. Here we go here.
Is it YouTube tech?
Yes, that was it. That was it. Where is it on your
down case? Down two. There you go.
That's it. Very good. Thank you very much. Okay, I had a video here. Thank you very much. We're going to click on video. There's one about 30 gadgets here. Going to pop into their little search here. 30. Gadgets. And we'll, there. Okay. So, these are 30 gadgets that are at another level. Okay. And you want to see these because you're here to find what new stuff going on. So, we'll click on this. I've got to go through the ad. I'm sorry. Okay, we got to. Okay, we'll turn this down. Oh, we can skip the ad. Here we go. Now, there's 30 products on here. So, we don't have 19 minutes, but I still want to know the 30 products. But Tom was right. We use Gemini. So, on the video, anywhere on the video, we right mouse click, copy URL. And we want to know the 30 gadgets. Gemini over here. Now keep in mind, these are all conversational AIs. I got more to go here. I'm juggling stuff here. Okay, here we go here. So we're going to ask Gemini, you can see the bottom. You see that at the bottom there?
Yep.
So we're going to. Yeah, I'm going to cheat a little bit here. Well, here's that's the URL we have, right? And I'm going to put before that to save time. So you watch me type. I'm going to pop this in. Please tell me what, W-U-T, a deliberate typo, are the 30 gadgets in this video. This is like GeoSpy. Can it do it? Okay, it's a conversational AI. This is multimodal. I want to know the 30 gadgets. I don't have time to watch all these 30 gadgets. I'm going to get the big hook soon. So, Gemini, what can you do? The 30 gadgets in this video are powered earbud, the self-watering pot, security camera, the projector, goes right down, a Jetson aircraft, I need one of those, and a smart home key. We have all the, I think I need that, the flying camera for Linda. We need the flying camera for Linda. Now, we got to go back to that video and find where is the flying camera. Oh, that's just no good to me at all. So all these things, because I need to find the flying camera. So what are we going to do? So
it's only 29.
29, was there? 30. There's 30. We got to find the flying camera. So remember, folks, this is a conversational AI. We need to find that flying camera for Linda. Conversational, I mean, just type in what you think. So I want you to please adjust this list with timestamps of each video. Oh, come on. It forgot. I forgot the one we were on. That does not usually happen.
Yeah, because it's got the video URL right there.
The 30 judges the video with timestamps. We'll go ahead a little more. So it forgot what we were. This is not usual, folks. I'm sorry. Wow. I had here in my script for you here, this worked. I was going to give you a numbered list and timestamps. It does work as a rule. You see that in the screen there?
Would you have to watch the ad each time, Bob, maybe? Maybe because you're
I don't think
the
so.
No.
Anyway.
You didn't do it the first time, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but he watched the ad the first time and then to get the URL. But
I've never had Gemini 1.5 do. It shut down on us here. Unless it's the video shut down. Anyway, it did work somewhat here for us with that. I can tell you that I've done that a lot before. It's never forgot our conversation, but that can happen. And AI is not perfect. So we have one more thing to show you tonight here and give you a free tool for you here. It's called AI Writer. If you don't want to use your credits on ChatGPT and you still want to use the ChatGPT format, you go to AI Writer. It's called Magic Write here, over here. I would like to say that sometimes you'll get server is down. It's a free tool, no sign up. And we go over here, and I have it tagged right there, the AI Writer. And please tell me a story. This one is down about one-third of the time, okay? But it's free, quick, no sign-up, and there's no shots against your Perplexity thing here for you. There we go. That's our text here. We can copy our text. We can put it into Notepad over here. And there's our text we got. What's it, the Rolling Hills? A little story here for us. We got that story. But anyway, it doesn't have current information on the writing skills for ChatGPT, Magic Writer. Anyway, it's a free little tool. Take that with you as a prize. And one more thing here to finish off here. Congratulations, you have now mastered AI. And thank you very much for hanging in here till the end. Hope you learned something. I'm sorry even it didn't work the first time, but it usually works. Thank you all.
Okay, Bob, thank you very, very kindly. Let me just take a really quick look at some of the things that we did have in the chat. Towards the end, we had J.J. Johnson said, I enjoy using Ideogram and Leonardo for graphic generation over Copilot, 11 Labs, and Hedra for text-to-voice and text-to-video. Isaac had an interesting comment. He said, bit of a broader question, how can we ensure that everybody is educated appropriately as these new tools are coming out? For example, how to ensure that people are aware of the differences between Gemini, ChatGPT, Perplexity, etc., as soon as they come out, especially as these tools are being implemented on a very public level without much of an introduction, i.e., I suddenly realized that I was getting AI-generated answers on my Google searches as the first option instead of the actual links, and it was quite interesting to notice how it was changing the way I fundamentally use Google. Thought-provoking sort of things to think about. I don't think there's any magic answer to that.
Yeah, and by the way, Ideogram now, I think Chris might know too, Ideogram recharge your credits before every 24 hours. And I use it around New Year's and little after, and now that 24 hours has gone to several days now. Many of these things are looking for you to pay. They're no less free. They put millions of dollars in these things, and they want to get it back. And so I would encourage folks to jump in now and try these things, and then later on you can decide which ones you want to pay for, because they're going to cost money soon.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, I didn't have time to go through all of the stuff that did get put into the chat, so I do encourage everybody, once they get posted onto our website, take a look at the chat. You might find some additional supplementary information, links to other things in there, comments from other people on tools that they use and so forth, so by all means, check those out. On behalf of the group, I would like to thank Bob for a terrific presentation, very thought-provoking, a lot of ideas about how we can use these tools more effectively. Certainly, I've learned many, many things through this that will help me out. And, Bob, I'd like to thank you very much for your time and trouble putting all this together for us.
Well, thank you, folks. I enjoyed doing it together, and thank you for your input. That made it fun. I'm sorry some things didn't work out, but they usually do.
Well, that's life with AI, I think, is that sometimes things will work out. It's like the hallucinations that Brett told us about in his presentation, and things like saying, draw me an empty room with no elephant, absolutely no elephant in the room, and of course it gives an empty room with an elephant in it, or a person with six fingers and things like that. So AI is far from perfect, but as we've seen tonight, it can certainly help you out in a lot of regards, and just have to be a little bit careful in using it and check things. Don't be like the lawyers who went in and argued case law in front of a judge with absolutely bogus information that was just complete hallucination. So be a little careful with it, but use the tools to your advantage.
And here, I got it, folks. I've got it. I'm bringing it back online. Am I still on the screen? Just linking to the screen still?
Yep.
Am I still there?
Yeah, I'm seeing Gemini.
You see the timestamps?
Ah, yes.
I tried it one more time here. I popped it with my copy and paste history, and I put here, and then please adjust this list with a typo in there with timestamps. And Linda wants her. There we go. Anyway, timestamps for each of them. It did work this time, so it's not a total flop. And you see that now?
Yep.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Very cool. Very cool.
Very great, Bob. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much.
Very good. The limits are your imagination. Very good. And anyway, very good. I'll close this up here and stop sharing here now. Thank you, folks.
No, thank you, Bob. That was great. Okay, folks, we hope to see you all at next week's Q&A session. And if you want to continue the conversation about any of the stuff from tonight, that might be an opportunity as well that we can have some of the Q&A dedicated to follow-ups on what people thought of this, what they've experimented with, and some results that they've managed to come up with, and maybe some additional tools that you find useful. Maybe you can share that with the with all of the members coming out to Q&A sessions.
And thank you to Linda, by the way, too, for the amazing photographs. You made a good intermission for that stuff to keep it wouldn't be so boring.
It wasn't. It was far from boring there, Bob. Far from boring. I've got
Thanks for including me.
Yeah, I've got scratched in notes all over the piece of paper here. I think I'll have to be referring to.
Yeah, bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was great, Bob, and we had, I think, some of our highest attendance in a while. I counted, I noticed 56 count at one point. So that was pretty impressive for 10. Oh, Bob's gone. Okay.
Thank you all.
Yeah, you are right, though. I was surprised how many attended, and there were quite a few new faces.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Okay, folks, I got some wrap-up stuff that I got to do, preparing the meeting for next week and things like that, so I'm going to end the call now. So good night, all.